prepared a message for you this morning called Always, Maybe, Never. If you're taking notes, Always, Maybe, Never. We're going to hang out in Romans, couple different passages of scripture in Romans. We are going to be starting a series called The Dark Room on Mother's Day. It's called The Dark Room, turning a negative into a masterpiece. And so the idea behind the series is you made these plans for life. You thought it was going to go one way and it goes another way. Now what do you do? And so we're going to tackle that question for a couple weeks. We were going to start it today, but we pushed it back because I really want to preach this to you. And today we're going to tackle another topic. Why do we always tackle crazy topics here at Genesis? I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he's like, you guys just preach about the most insane, crazy stuff. You try and wrap your brain around God in a really crazy way. Today we're going to try and talk about and make sense of the will of God with a message called Always, Maybe, Never. I think most people would say that most people who have devoted their lives to Christ, who are Christians, would say that they want to live their lives in a way that is according to the will of God. Can you guys give me that? I mean, I think that we're all kind of on board with that, that I desire to live my life in a way that is in accordance with the will of God. I think you desire to live your way or to live your life in a way that is in accordance with the will of God. However, is the will of God not one of the most fleeting, frustrating things to put your finger on? Can you give me that as well? To try and determine what is the will of God in your life in a particular situation, this is a question that I get very, very often. Pastor, what do you think the will of God is here? What do you think the will of God is here? I think these questions are asked out of a good heart. However, I think they are through my many, many years of pastoring a church for 3.5 years deep now. Just some recurring patterns that I've noticed in these questions and kind of a way that I think we attack the will of God in a way that sets us up for failure. We attack the will of God like this, as if the will of God is some cosmic treasure map that we are supposed to go on a journey to find and discover what the will of God is. It's like Goonies. I heard they're making Goonies too, and Spielberg is on board. Hello. You're glad you're in church this morning. Now you know. Ting, the more you know. Goonies 2 coming at you. But I think a lot of times we treat the will of God as if it's this treasure map that we're always on this hunt to find what the will of God is. And I would pose this idea to you before we even get into the message today, that the will of God is not a treasure map. It is, in fact, a work order. The will of God is not something that you're on a journey to try and find. I believe the will of God is very specific in most areas. And it's not something to where, how do I find the will of God? It's, am I going to do the will of God that has already been spoken? See, the will of God can be broken down, I think, into always, maybe, and never. The always and never are pretty easy. The Bible says never do these things. Don't kill people. That's bad. The will of God is for you to not kill your neighbor. We got that on lock. The will of God is for you to not steal from your business partner. That's the will of God. It's very explicitly written here in the Word. Some things are an always. Husbands, you are always called to lay down your life for your wife as Christ laid his down for the church. Wives, you are always called to submit to your husband. You are always called to serve one another within the confines of a marriage vow. That's the will of God. That's an always. Another always would be as employees, Christian employees. We represent the God who created everything. Should we not be the greatest employees on planet Earth? The answer is yes. Don't say no, you're wrong. The answer is yes. Colossians, in fact, talks about how we don't serve an earthly master. Everything that we do is, we should do it as if we're doing it unto the Lord. And Colossians in the Message Bible says it this way, being a Christian doesn't cover up bad work. Let that punch you in the face if you're a bad employee. Being a Christian doesn't cover up bad work. You should be the hardest working employee. I don't care if you're the team leader, the manager, the boss. You should be working hard. You should be lifting up your fellow employees and supporting them and serving them just as if you were serving Christ. If Jesus was on your team, I bet you would work different. That is an always when it comes to the will of God. You don't have to figure it out. Should I work really hard today? Yes, that's an always. I answered that question for you. Nailed it. Will of God done. You got it. Pack it up. Let's get out of here. But the always and the maybe, or the always and the never, are not the difficult things for us. It's the maybe that are the difficult things for us. Correct? And I think often we are looking for an always when it's a maybe. Let me throw it at you this way. I often get asked questions, Pastor, I have choice A or choice B. What do you think I should do? Most often the question's maybe? Or the answer is maybe? Should I do A? Maybe. Should I do B? Maybe. Like, you're looking for an explicit kind of always. Young men and women, single men and women who are looking to take their relationship to the next level. Pastor, I want it to be the will of God for me to marry this girl. Is it the will of God? Maybe. I know that the will of God says that once you're married, you're to serve your guts out to lift her up. The Bible describes her as a crown on your head. Nobody wants a janky crown. Polish your crown. Make sure she's shining. You can tell what kind of man you are by looking at your wife. Is she joyful? Is she bubbling over? That's the will of God for you in this situation, is if you say this is the one I'm going to marry, then that's what you get to do. But is she the right one? Hey, I hope you could have figured that out by now. There's a pastor named Stephen Furtick who's written three books now. I forget which one it's in, but he talks about leading his church. And he said, I have to stand up every week and declare to my church the will of God for the direction as if I'm 100% sure. And most of the time I'm about 60% sure that this is the way that we should go. But can you remember a time in your life where you're 100% sure? Even, let's be honest, married couples, on your wedding day, you were like, oh. Not because you didn't have faith in them or because you thought that something was wrong with them, but you're like, I got like 60 or 70 years. I'm going to have to talk to this person every day and eat oatmeal with them. And she's going to have to deal with me yelling at the Seahawks. I don't know if she's ready for this. But hopefully you were at least 50% sure that that's where you wanted to go. Hopefully. I doubt you were 100%. But you had a strong inclination in that direction. But the minute you walk down that aisle and you say, I do, the will of God changes from a maybe to an always. And it becomes, okay, at a certain point that was a maybe, now it's an always. That you always get to love her. You always get to love him. You always get to respect each other. You always now at this point get to raise children in the house of God according to godly principles. That's an always. That's not a maybe. But we tend to do this with the will of God. We tend to underweight the always, overweight the maybe, and a lot of times try and rewrite the never. Don't we? Come on, we can be honest in church. You guys can say amen and stuff like that. We tend to underweight the always, overweight the maybe, and rewrite the never. We like to rewrite the never to fit what we want the will of God to be in our life. You know what I did? I plugged the will of God, this phrase, into my Bible study software. The will of God, or God's will, or God willed. And an interesting thing that I found, I don't know what this means, I'm just going to throw this out to you, lob it to you as a piece of information, is that that phrase only takes place in the New Testament. I don't know what it means. Take it, chew on it, love it. But most often what we find about God's will or the will of God in the New Testament is we did such and such according to the will of God. They saw the will of God as a work order and not as a treasure map. I was with, Mark was here in the first service, I was with my friend Mark in Atlanta last spring, and my best friend married a girl from Atlanta, so we went down there, and I was the best man in his wedding, and we had a blast, and Mark had never eaten Chick-fil-A in his whole life, never. Give me a show of hands if you've never eaten at Chick-fil-A, let me say, oh my gosh, you have missed the will of God for your life. If you've never eaten at Chick-fil-A, you cannot describe Chick-fil-A. I could stand up here for an hour and try to describe how delicious a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is to you, and you would never understand it, because it's just a chicken sandwich. And here's the thing, you already have a bucket for a chicken sandwich. You already know what a chicken sandwich is because you've eaten a McChicken, and let me tell you, it is not a McChicken. I don't know what is in Chick-fil-A, cocaine maybe, I have no idea, whatever it is. It's the tastiest. It's the Atlanta. It's the best. The closest Chick-fil-A is in Boise. I don't know why Boise has one and we don't, but let's petition the U.S. government. They have Urban Outfitters, too, and we don't. They have Urban and Chick-fil-A. Spokane's cooler than Boise. Come on. If you're from Boise, we're cooler than you. But if you get a chance to get near Chick-fil-A. So anyway, I told Mark, I'm like, dude, before we leave, we have to eat at Chick-fil-A. We just have to. And he's like, dude, why? What's the big deal? We were looking around for Chick-fil-A. We were downtown. We had just finished we toured the CNN building and everything, did all the touristy stuff after the wedding. We were there Masters weekend, and I didn't get to go to the Masters. I'm still really upset about that. But anyway, we toured. Then we had to go catch our flight. We had to get back. We had a rental car. And I'm like, Mark, we haven't eaten Chick-fil-A yet. We have to go to Chick-fil-A. So we plug it in. And this was right when Apple was kind of, when they kicked Google Maps off the iPhone, and they were like, Apple Maps is the thing. And then it was like routing people into the middle of the ocean in England and stuff. You remember that? When Apple Maps was terrible. So this was right around that time. So I pulled out my iPhone, and I was like, Chick-fil-A, take me. And it was like, you are
1.2 miles away
or whatever it says. So we plug in and we start driving. We're in the rental car. Mark's driving, and it's like we're getting, like, I feel like closer and closer into downtown Atlanta. And I'm like, in my head I'm thinking, I can't imagine there'd be a Chick-fil-A down here. Like, that'd be really expensive real estate for a Chick-fil-A to go in, like, in the third floor of some office tower or something. It doesn't even make sense. So we're driving around, and it's like, I'm like, Mark, I think I've never been to Atlanta, but I've been alive before, and I think we're going in circles. I know what that feels like, and I think we're going in circles. So we're driving, it's like, make a left, make a right, make a left, everything. And then it finally just goes, ding, 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 you have arrived. Your destination is on the left. And we looked, and we were at City Hall. And I'm like, this has got to be like the fanciest Chick-fil-A I've ever eaten in my entire life, because it took us to City Hall in downtown Atlanta. And then at that point, I just went to Google Maps on my browser, and I just plugged Chick-fil-A in, and we found a Chick-fil-A, and Mark ate it. And I asked Mark first service if he agreed that it was the best chicken sandwich he's ever had, and he said, yes, it's the best chicken sandwich that I've ever had. Moral of the story, eat at Chick-fil-A. Let's go home. Praise God. But I think often in our lives, we're looking for the will of God to be like a GPS-type thing in our life. We're looking for it to route us every step of our way, and we're waiting for God to say, this is my will, take step with your left foot. This is my will, step with your right foot. Okay, in about 6 feet, you're going to need to take a left. And we're waiting for the will of God to act like that in our lives. Here's the thing that I've found is that the will of God is not a GPS. It's more like a compass, to where if you've ever been camping or orienteering or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or anything like that, they give you a map kind of the terrain of what's going on, and they say, you need to get here, and they give you a compass, and the compass points a direction, and then it's up for you to choose the path that you're on to get that way. The will of God for you and I on this earth is to be conformed into the image of Christ. Each day, we renew our minds, we work out our own salvation, we are doing what we can do and daily being conformed to the image of Christ. How that happens, I believe, is largely up to you. God gives us some confines, some nevers and some always, but most often, the rest is left for us to fill in. It's like a compass, and God goes, here you go, have fun. Is this not free will? Is this not part of the freedom that God purchased for us? Sure, there are some nevers and there are some always, but here's a wonderful thing about that, is that we get to live this vibrant life in relationship with Christ. It's good. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is what? Help me out, Genesis Church. What is what? Yes. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I really do believe that we spend way too much time in the maybe. The maybe's kind of a fun place to live, though, isn't it? It's kind of unknown. No, Judah's like, no, the maybe is not fun. I am a maybe kind of person. I really like the maybe because there's so many possibilities. We as humans feel when people give us guidelines, many people, they just thrive within guidelines. There's a lot of people, if you're like me, that you feel restricted by guidelines. So the always and the never, kind of like you do it and out of the right heart, but when God gives you a maybe, you're like, yes. You like to live in the maybe. Leading a church is very much about the maybe. There are certain things it says always do, like make disciples. Non-negotiable. How are you going to make disciples? Should we do this? Maybe. Should we do it this way? Maybe. Something we do here at Genesis Church, we kind of use this like as a test lab. We kind of see it like as a, this is like a teaching hospital. We just see it as. You have like hospitals where people who are, or then you have teaching hospitals where brand new doctors get to go and they practice on people. It's awesome. Practice on you. This is like a teaching hospital. We like to get as many people on board serving as we possibly can. You may have no idea what you're doing, but we are going to do everything we can to equip you and help you do what it is that you want to do. So we kind of see this as like a teaching hospital. In a teaching hospital, there's a lot of maybes. And we get to fill this in. In other areas of your life, maybes are frustrating and difficult and time-consuming and stressful. But I would pose this thought to you, that we spend way too much time in the maybe and not enough in the always. One of the most important things that we can do as disciples is learn how to properly distribute our time and effort between the always and the maybe. I don't think that you should completely live in the always or be constantly looking for an always because you'll drive yourself crazy. Then to live in the maybe is another ditch. There's two ditches to this road. And I think the balance between each is going to be different for each person. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 that this is what we are to do. This is how we do this. This is a process, you see. There's a lot of things that maybe to you are a maybe right now because you don't know the always will of God, which he gave us. He spoke his word right here. You may be a brand new Christian. You may be a seasoned Christian who doesn't know your word very well. And it's a process of getting to learn what is the always will of God. And I thank God that he created space for us in that. He understands that about us, that we weren't born conformed to the image of Christ, that we're getting there. But the Bible gives us a hint on how to turn a lot of the maybes in our life into always. And that is this in Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you. Do you hear this in Paul's voice? This is Paul writing a letter. This is his magnum opus, the book of Romans. This is his masterpiece. His life has culminated into this. He has put all the points and all the doctrines of his theology into this one letter. It's one of the latest letters that he wrote. It's the first one chronologically that we have in the Bible, but is in fact one of the latest ones that he wrote. So he's had some time to boil this down into a complete coherent thought. Paul was a father to a lot of church people. Planted many churches. He's arguably the greatest apostle that has ever lived. So he says this to his to this church at Rome that is in the middle of this culture that is so counter to the kingdom of God. And he says this, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is an always will of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. And then he tells us how to do it. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, which is getting into this word. This is why we do Ryzen 9. If you're unfamiliar with Ryzen 9, we're starting a new month. This is the last Sunday of April, but over at the info table, we have our May bookmarks out there. And let's see, May 1st is 10 verses, May 2nd is 10 verses, May 3rd is 11 verses, May 4th is 13 verses, and we got 8 verses, 9 verses, 11 verses. So hopefully you can handle 8 to 12 verses per day. The reason that we do Rise and 9 is so that we are all, as a church on the same exact reading plan, renewing our minds. When Paul's talking about renewing your mind, washing it in the word, that's what he's talking about. So we encourage everyone in the church to start your day off with just 9 minutes. Praise, pray, read, 3 minutes apiece. Praise for 3 minutes, pray for 3 minutes, read for 3 minutes. Start your day off that way. Because what ends up happening at that point is Paul says this, that as you're doing this, you get to the point that, the second half of this verse, by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Wouldn't you like to be in a place where you knew what the will of God was in every situation? Where even if it was a maybe, even if there were possibilities, we could also describe the maybe as a sometimes. Should I do this? Should I do this? Sometimes. Sometimes you should, sometimes you shouldn't. We as Christians aren't really good with the gray area, are we? We're not good with nuance. We like black and white. There's a lot of nuance to the gospel. We're not very good at that. Should I do this? Sometimes. Paul goes, all things are acceptable, but not all things are profitable. Should I do this? Sometimes. Should I do this? Maybe. But here's the thing, that as you get to understand, as you are conforming, you're renewing your mind, being conformed into the image of Christ, you get to be able to determine and to test and to determine what the will of God is. I think that the only way to really miss the will of God, and I've thought about this sentence for a long time because it has giant, giant ramifications for your life. And I'm about 80%. No, I'm saying that. Let me say this first. The will of God, if we're thinking of our life as a journey, the will of God is more about the position of your heart than a position on a map. God, if this is the position of your heart, God, wherever I go, I'm going to honor you. I think you're in the will of God. Few times in the Bible, I'm not going to throw this out because there are a few times where the Spirit of God specifically said, don't go to this place. So we have to create room for that. But those were rare occasions. Sometimes specifically said, go exactly to this place. If God says that and you're sure of it, then do it. But most of the time, an angel is not going to show up and talk to you. You test and you get to learn what the will of God is, and then you move in the maybes. And I would say this, that if you are concerned about missing the will of God, I would say the only way to miss the will of God is to disobey the word of God. To really miss it is to disobey it. And if you want to be in the will of God, do the word of God and you're doing the will of God. There you go. Are you doing the word of God? Are you working the word? Are you doing what it says? We did this according to the will of God. We did this according to the will of God. We went here according to the will of God. The early church and the disciples and the apostles, they had this position that everything they were going to do was dedicated to God. We could say this today, I owned my business according to the will of God. What would that mean? I operated according to godly principles. I lifted people up. I prayed for my customers, whether they knew it or not. Clayton fixed my car and I got a handwritten note in the mail. Thanks for bringing your car in. TDC Auto. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I would call that a little extra mile. When was the last time Shuck sent you something like that? Or Jiffy Lube? Probably didn't. TDC Auto. Dishman Micah, look it up. Ding. Do we have a bell for advertisements? Ding. I did this according to the will of God. I married her according to the will of God. Meaning at that point, you married her and you get to serve your guts out to make sure that that woman is the best that she could possibly be her entire life. I took this job according to the will of God. I was the best employee they had ever seen. I did everything that they asked ethically and legally. And I went above and beyond. I blew them away. I did this according to the will of God. See, that's an always will of God. Taking that job, that was a maybe. That was a sometimes. But the minute you did, it turned into an always. That now that I have made this decision, this is what I as a Christian get to do always according to the will of God. Now, you may be in here. I'm going to land on this. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to land here. I got 6:51 on my timer, so give me 6 minutes, 51 seconds. Romans 8, chapter 26. You may be in here and going, hey, preacher, that sounds great. Here's the thing. I don't even know where to start. You're talking about somebody said, I have this choice and this choice. This could be the will of God. This could be the will of God. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I want to live my life according to the will of God. I want to do, I want to be the person that he wants me to be. I desire that so deeply because I love him, but I just don't know what it looks like. You know what? You have an advocate. His name's the Holy Spirit. In the military, in big cargo planes, they have a position on their crew called the loadmaster. If you were in the Air Force and you lived in heavy world, you're going to know this position. It was on the crew and it was called the loadmaster. And it was the loadmaster's job to determine where to evenly distribute the weight on that airplane based on how big the crew was, how full the tank was, were they carrying tanks or were they carrying Humvees, to equally distribute the weight so that that plane didn't crash. It's one of the most important positions on that crew, because if he doesn't do his job right, the whole thing's going down and that whole entire crew is lost. I think you as a disciple, one of the most important things you can do is to determine and learn how much time to spend in the always and how much time to spend in the maybe. Because you're spending too much time either way, you're going to crash and burn and you will be ineffective in your life for the kingdom of God. But we got a loadmaster called the Holy Spirit. You may not know which way to wait, which direction to go. Do I live in this? Maybe do I live in this always? And the Bible tells us this about the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Paul says this, writing the church at Rome, likewise, the Spirit, this is a capital S, this is the Holy Spirit, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You ever felt weak trying to determine the will of God? I just don't know what to do. You want to, but you're weak. You literally couldn't, even if you tried. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to what? According to what, Genesis Church? The will of God. You have a loadmaster who is praying for you, interceding on behalf of the saints, according to the will of God. That I hope that frees somebody up. Good Lord. How do we not get 6,000 amens out of 70 people in here? That the Spirit, the Bible calls him also, another name for him is the advocate. He's our advocate. He is actively advocating for you in your weakness when you don't know, is this a maybe, is this an always, is it a never, you're not sure. There's somebody called the Holy Spirit who is interceding on your behalf according to the will of God. And then, this is one of the most encouraging verses in the whole entire Bible, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. If the will of God was a position on a map or something that you could miss, how could he possibly say that all things are working together? I think it's because it's a position of your heart. And he's saying, and whatever it is that you are doing, I've already gone ahead and I'm working it out, and all things are working for your good. For those who are called according to my purpose. For those who love God and are called according to my purpose. We need to put a caveat on that scripture. A lot of people go, all things work together for my good. That's not the whole scripture. It says for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. There's a caveat there. So don't go throwing that scripture around. I'm reading a book right now called The Most Misrepresented Scriptures in the Bible. And it's an amazing book. I'm probably going to preach a series about it as soon as my heart is ready. Because I just want to make fun of the way people use scriptures, and that's not good. So, but this is one of them. All things work together for our good. Oh, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose? Right, you're totally right. Don't forget that part. But I believe that if your heart is in a place, you may not be, your life may not look like something that is going according to the will of God right now, but I believe today, right now, in this moment, you could say, God, my heart from this moment forward is to love you and to honor you and to bring you glory in everything that I do. And he'll go, boom, I knew you were going to pray that prayer because I'm God. So I'm working things out for you in this situation. Do you believe that, Genesis? Would you stand with me? Can we get the worship team?